This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Travelon products have made an appearance on Solo Travel Talk before, but today, listeners, you're in for a real treat. On this episode, we get to talk to Don Godshaw, CEO of Travelon. Don is an avid traveler and pursuer of adventure. In 2006, Don suffered an accident that made him paralyzed. He did not allow that circumstance to change his enthusiasm for seeing the world. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, got a chance to speak to Don Godshaw about his personal and professional interest in travel. Plus, be sure to listen for his involvement in Adaptive Adventures. Here's Astrid speaking to Travelon's Don Godshaw.
Okay, well, I am very excited about our show today. We have a very special person who is my guest. His name is Don Godshaw, and I didn't get to meet him when I went to the travel show in Las Vegas, the Travel Goods show, but I did see him from far off, and I love the company that he's the CEO, Travelon Products. So I got to know a little bit about his very interesting and inspiring story. So this is going to be a very special show. I just wanted to share with all of our listeners before we get into it. And Don, the way that I do all of my podcasts is basically a question and answer session. So I think I've put together some good questions that will highlight some of the things that I think are going to be so wonderful for the world to know. So with that said, you know, I'm sure everybody is wondering what this is going to be all about, but it's going to be great. We'll get into our first question. One of the themes of Solo Travel Talk is to have confidence and to overcome obstacles to traveling. So you have a professional and a personal interest in travel. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and where your passion for travel comes from.
Well, you know, as a kid born in the 50s to European parents, I think my parents gave me the love of travel at a very early age with summer vacations or ski trips to the Rockies or to Colorado or road trips to Florida or whatever they were. My family was always on the go, and they encouraged us to explore, from sending us off to overnight camp in Algonquin Park in Canada for 7 or 8 summers in a row to going to Colorado Outward Bound in 1967. Those were all things that we pretty much were encouraged to do on our own. But then in 1972, after college, I decided I wanted to do a bit more skiing before I settled down and knuckled down to the hard work of life. And I went down to Chile to ski, and I stayed there for about 8 months, and it was a fantastic experience. And I think from there, I just continued to enjoy exploring cultures and going to places where there's a language change, which gives my brain really a cultural break and a change in point of view. Started traveling in Southeast Asia in 1983, and then spent almost a third of my year, every year from that point on, in Asia, you know, working with various factories, developing products for backpacks and travel products.
Well, you sound like me, except I don't have a travel goods company. From my youth, I did a lot of travel. My mother was born in Berlin, Germany, so I kind of grew up in a little different household that was kind of half European, half American. But I have always loved the cultures, loved traveling in terms of the educational aspect of it and the enrichment. So a lot of the things that you're saying is really what I'm all about and what solo travel is all about for people who do like to travel either solo or they don't have anybody to travel with. So we're kind of on the same wavelength and a little bit different, I guess you'd say, perspective. And I know from the research I did on you before the show that you travel 100,000 miles a year. Now, I don't travel quite that much. That's a lot.
Yeah, I used to do quite a bit more. I used to book 150 to 200,000 miles a year. But in 2006, I kiddingly tell people I slipped on a banana peel while skiing in Aspen. And as a result, I'm a paraplegic in a wheelchair. And that's changed my travel routines a bit, but it really hasn't changed my travel significantly.
Right. And that segues into our next question, which opens up the real theme of this show. What are some of the practical considerations someone with disabilities must plan for to have successful travel? And do you have any recommendations or tips for successful travel?
Well, I travel globally by myself, and I think being self-sufficient is important to people who have that ability. Not every person with disability can do that because some people require a caregiver, and being totally self-sufficient for them is very difficult. But, you know, I'm fortunate as a paraplegic. My arms and my brain and my fingers and hands work really well. I kiddingly tell people legs are highly overrated.
I know how you feel. Mine are starting to hurt more when I travel. Keep going.
Well, mine are sort of ornaments. I find one of the things that's very important is I like to have a wheelchair available to me. I travel with a wheelchair made by a company called Kushal. They're owned by Invacare. And the good thing about this particular wheelchair is it breaks down so small that once you pop the wheels off and fold the frame, it fits in an overhead bin. So your wheelchair is always available, and you're not worrying about it being damaged if it was checked below.
Wow.
I think that's an important one, but not everyone has the luxury of having multiple chairs. So I'd say make sure your chair is folded and properly protected so that you don't have an incident when you get to the other end where you've got flat tires or you've got a problem with your power chair if you're traveling with a power chair. When I travel with a power chair, I always have a second chair with me because I think power chairs are way too clunky and too big to use in hotel rooms, particularly hotel rooms in Southeast Asia or other parts of the third world where you don't have disability laws that provide even truly accessible rooms. You need to figure out how to make it all work. One of the good things I'd say is people are helpful all over the world. They just need to remember to ask for help. And also planning ahead is very important, making sure that you bring all your meds and, you know, medical items that you need so you don't all of a sudden find you need some medical paraphernalia while you're overseas and it might be difficult to come up with. I also think not only disabled travelers, but every able-bodied traveler should consult with their doctors before they travel to third world countries, get the proper vaccinations always, and carry your own meds, a dosage of antibiotics that will handle the typical diseases that your doctor feels could be things that you get in harm's way of. If you get sick overseas, is never any fun. If you do get sick, having the proper medicine and having your doctor's mobile number is an absolute must. So you can reach out to your doctor anywhere you are in the world and have him consult with another physician or tell you what you should do based on the symptoms you're showing.
Excellent advice. In fact, I think you're again on my wavelength because my producer and I were talking about our next taping. We're going to do a whole show about health and staying healthy abroad. And some of it is the pre-trip preparation that you need to do that a lot of times people just don't realize that they should do it this way or they forget to do it. Like the immunizations. Say you want to do a safari in Africa and you say, oh, well, I'll go in 6 weeks. Well, you really should have those immunizations 6 months to a year before for some of those potential disease threats. So definitely a lot of pre-trip planning to make sure that you have everything you need, as well as all your contact numbers and anything else in case, like you said, you start feeling real bad and having the antibiotics or whatever. And let me ask you this. So when you travel, Don, you have your special equipment. I think the foldable wheelchair that you could put in the overhead bin, it just sounds just really wonderful.
I still need an aisle chair. The airports or the airlines all have an aisle chair on board.
Oh.
All right, so if you need to go to the toilet, you get to a toilet in the aisle chair that every plane has on board, even every international carrier. They might not know how to use them, so having some familiarity with their aisle chair is important because frequently the flight attendants, they maybe are 6 years away from their training, and they don't remember how the thing works. Knowing that anything you transfer onto is safe and secure, the brake is engaged, and that always manage your own transfers. Don't let people tell you how to move. Move in ways you're very certain of, because falling is no fun. And don't allow people to lift you, because they lift you, they can drop you.
Wow. Thank you.
I'm uncomfortable if we're on a very long, like a Trans-Pacific flight. I can't stay on my seat for that long a period of time. So I spend a little extra money and I buy a business class seat or a first class seat, and I roll over onto my chest, which takes all the pressure off my glutes and ensures I won't get a pressure sore. I get the flight attendants to help move my legs around to make sure they're not touching so they don't get create a sore on themselves. And they bring extra pillows on board for me that they put under my chest so I can sleep comfortably. So if you need extra pillows or extra anything to make you comfortable on the airplane, speak with the reservation people when you book your flight. When you get to the airport, confirm that your extra pillows or extra blankets have been boarded. And then even at the gate, check again. It's your job to make sure everything is right. And then, of course, pre-board so that you get on first, your wheelchair gets secured properly, and you make sure everything that you need for the flight is available to you.
Wow, that's great to know. And what about support services? Are there any support services that are worldwide that you might use?
Our company, we have a medical evac company that we use so that if any of our staff get ill, they get airlifted out with a physician. Over the past 20 years, we've only had to use it once, but they came in and one of our people was hospitalized. And when he was good enough to travel, they traveled with him first class with a doctor alongside with proper medicine. So if he had any issues in the flight, that he'd be cared for. And that's one of the things that people are going on business trips can have. Obviously, know what your insurance will pay for. You get sick overseas, will your insurance pay for an airlift back to the U.S.? Many insurance companies will not. You need to know, what do you do if something really bad happens? How do you get home? Or where are you going to go for care?
Absolutely. One of my tips is always have good travel insurance with that medical evac rider on it, especially in the third world countries or where there's not American standard medical care.
Some of the major higher-end credit cards offer that type of EVAC service, but you pay for that, but it might be a worthwhile thing for people to investigate.
Okay, thank you. And one other thing, I did share with the listeners, you're CEO of Travel On Products, and I do think your products, they're so wonderful because they're created for safety, they're created for functionality, as well as they're stylish. And for the handicapped traveler, I think many of them are wonderful. Just for example, all of your bags are constructed to where they are anti-theft. You can't slash them. You can't cut the straps. If you're sitting in a restaurant, you can basically hook the purse or the bag to another chair where somebody can't just run off and grab it. It has the RFID blocking to where people cannot steal your credit card numbers, passport numbers, etc. The waterproof products that you have, I think those are just so ingenious. As well as I see that your company is getting into a lot more comfort products.
Yeah, we try to keep it all within every man's price point. We have some higher end lines. Our main business is in our moderately priced products, where people buy them for a trip. They might buy two or three. They want different colors. They want different things for different activities. When they're going from a ship to shore for the day, they want a small bag that might be expandable. Or they're going out at night. They're on a long trip, and they want everything in that bag together. And when they get to the hotel room, they might put that bag in the safe and take a small bag for their day trips out of the hotel. Once you get to a country, have a photocopy of your passport, but leave your passport in the hotel safe. You don't need to carry your passport with you where you go. That's a silly thing.
You sound like some of my episodes. Okay, that's all really good information, and I can't say enough about Travel On products, and not because you're on my show, but because of the quality of the product and the thought behind it.
We appreciate that. I want to get to one more thing for successful travel.
Sure.
Americans like to eat, all right? But when you travel, eat for fuel. Don't eat to be full. If you overeat overseas and you get food poisoning, it will destroy your trip. There's some parts of the world where you just eat enough to get to your next meal. If you're in France or in Italy and you're having a fantastic food, wonderful. But if you're in Indonesia or Malaysia or someplace in the remote Philippines or in India or Pakistan or Africa, eat smart and don't eat too much.
Yes, that's great. I must say, in my almost 40 years of travel, I've only experienced one case of food poisoning, and that was actually in Paris. My last meal on a Tuesday evening was sitting outside on the Champs-Élysées having steam mussels. And these mussels must have been bought on Thursday, the week before, because when I woke up the next morning to catch my flight, oh, I did not know if I could make it. It was awful. But I agree with you. Watching what you eat, not overeating, and just being careful.
Yeah, don't drink water unless you see the cap break from the bottle.
Exactly. Okay, well, let's move on to our next question. Do you have any words of wisdom for a person with disabilities who wants to travel but is stopping themselves?
One of the things that when you go through a life-changing episode that makes you disabled or you're born with disabilities is overcoming that disability. And while rehab, PT, and OT are very beneficial, they only get you to a level of medical necessity. Medical necessity isn't really life. And I found very much that one of the things that really got me back from, let's say, 85% to 100%+ was sports. And I think that my involvement in various charitable organizations that encourage people to do outdoor sports activity, from climbing and cycling to skiing and kayaking, was a huge help, because you get out there and you're doing these things on your own and you're equal to an able-bodied person when you're participating in those sports. You have no handicap at that point. I think that helps people get beyond their handicap. It helps them look to, my God, I can do this, and if I can do this, there's really nothing that I can't do. I think if people need to get to that stage in their rehab and their cure from whatever it is, or they're overcoming their birth issues, to be able to get out there in the world and really kick it. And I think that's something that is more state of mind, and being able to just get on a computer and search for adaptive sports in your area. I'm on the board of a charity called Adaptive Adventures, and we provide outdoor sports activities to several thousand people a year. And about 60% of those are veterans, but the rest are just regular Joes or Janes or kids that have had issues. And I see how sports changed their life dramatically. And I think that's one of the things that I think will help people if they've done that in their own location, whether it be in Ohio or Mississippi or Florida or California. Get out there and do something. Don't sit on your porch. That shouldn't be what you do on a beautiful day. You should get out there and be active. And once you've got that done, I think travel becomes a really easy step.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched some of your YouTube videos, and you skiing in Aspen on the monoski. You actually have a sitting monoski, but I saw others who have the standing monoski, and you are a hotshot.
They're very expensive devices, and you don't need to buy one. I mean, all the ski areas have them available, and
really?
Those aren't rentals. They usually give that stuff to people. They all have programs, and the Americans with Disability Act really has provided a lot of activities for people with disabilities, and I think that almost every ski area in the country has a program. So to go skiing or whatever sports you want to do, even water skiing is available for people who don't have legs.
Exactly. I mean, this is great information, because I think there's some people who would dream about doing it but think, well, how would I get the equipment? But if it's something that's there, or you can have access to vendors or companies that provide this, that definitely could open up the new reality. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Adaptive Adventures. I know when I did the research, the different activities that this nonprofit sponsors all over the country is amazing. They have sailing, cycling, lots of water sports, from whitewater rafting, water skiing, waterboarding, scuba diving, and sailing, which I think is fabulous. Then you have kayaking. And the last one, I want to do this. I've never done this, but I've seen this done, especially in Asia, is the dragon boat racing, where you have teams that compete on these dragon boats. And wasn't one of the Adaptive Adventures teams, did they win?
We won a national event against able-bodied teams, and we had a group of our vets that they came across the finish line three boat lengths ahead. Now, these boats are 25, 30 feet long, with 12 or 14 paddlers and a coxswain. And these guys and gals were passionate about getting it done. Some of them were blind. Some were single amputees, only with one arm or with a stump. or with no legs, double amputees, or paraplegics, and they won against able-bodied rowers. So it's a question of, yeah, your handicap or your disability, part of it's in your mind. You get over it, get out there.
Great. I mean, it gives me chill bumps to hear you talk about this. Well, your motto of Adaptive Adventures is freedom through mobility. And basically, as you've shared, sports opportunities to improve the quality of life for people with disabilities, whether they're adults, they're children. I know you've got a lot of things, or you kind of focus on getting the veteran back into life. One of the vets said, keep your body moving and just get out there, enjoy life. And that's really so inspirational, Don. I mean, I can't even say in words how inspiring that is for somebody who is homebound and would love to travel or would love to do.
I had a vet the other day tell me, this is the first time he'd been out of his house in 18 months, and he came out for one of our events, and he was just so moved by it. He said, I just can't tell you, this helping me get my life back. And I've seen him now at a cycling event. We just did Bike to Drive, where they closed Lakeshore Drive at 6 o'clock in the morning, and at 6:30, 40,000 people are out in the drive until 10:30 in the morning. In a 30-mile circuit or a 5-mile circuit or an 8-mile circuit, people can ride what they like. And the equipment, we certainly brought trailers or gear for our people to ride, but lots of folks came down with their own cycles. And it's just a wonderful place to ride right along Lakeshore Drive. But these types of events really instill your independence and your freedom. They're also great family events. When I've seen a vet get out on a hand cycle and the person suffering from PTSD and he's paralyzed from the waist down, and he's out there riding a bike with his wife and his two kids on a beautiful day, and then going out kayaking after that. And these are things he never thought he'd be able to do again. And to watch this tough Marine just break down in tears talking about his experience and what it did for him and his family, and interviewing those kids and having them say, yeah, I rode with Dad, but I can go faster than Dad can. He kept up pretty well. It was amazing. And having the kids see that their dad is making that effort to be with them and see what kind of a difference that makes in his relationship with his children and his wife is very inspiring, and it's definitely worth doing. That's why my company and my wife and I are very committed to supporting this type of a cause, where 87% of the revenue goes directly to programs.
Wow. Well, it's definitely life-changing. It's fabulous. That's all I can say.
For your listeners who would like to learn more, they can go to www.adaptiveadventures.org.
And don't you have social media also?
There's also Facebook and Twitter. I'm sure we have all that. I'm too old to know about all those things, but we're all over the internet.
Right. And on your website, I know it gives a calendar event.
You can look up your own region, what's going on in your area, or you can call into our Colorado office and they can give you information.
Right. Whether it's the camps or the competitions or the tours or the bike rides or whatever. So lots of great information. And then also you do have a section where if anybody's listening who has moved to donate, that, like you said, 85% of the monies goes to enhancing the experience for the participants in your events.
If we have people that donate, and they donate as a result of listening to your show, and with their donation they add a keyword of your show, I will match their donations up to $5,000.
Oh, whoa. Okay, we'll get that done. My producer and I will get that keyword. Oh, fabulous, Don. What you're doing is so huge, it's hard to really express in words. I have noticed in my travels from time to time, certain places are more handicapped, travel friendly than others. And I've thought somebody should really take the cause on to help people with disabilities travel. Because as you said, and I said, most people with disabilities tend to be homebound, and homebound way too much.
I think they can get out. I think it's just a question of giving themselves a kick in the butt and getting up and going out and doing it. It's just like everybody has a little bit of trepidation. You got to get over it and go out there and embrace the world. 3 years ago, we went to Havana, Cuba for Christmas, New Year's. I did get a share with Big Knobby Tires built, so I'd have something to navigate the cobblestone streets and what I knew wouldn't be very accessible. I had my two boys and my son-in-law and my daughter along and my wife, so I knew I had help if I needed it. But 98% of the time, I was pushing myself. But we rented a beautiful Airbnb that said first floor. But the thing we forgot is the first floor, except in the U.S., means the second floor. First floor is always the ground floor. So we had a curved staircase, and I ended up going on my future son-in-law's back, carrying me piggyback up and down the steps a couple of times a day. But other than that, it was a great trip. You figure a way to get it done. If it's hiring a couple of muscle-bound locals to haul you up your steps, you get it done.
Yeah, I like it. Just do it. Okay, last question. To close, can you share with our listeners some bucket list destinations you would like to visit or some of your upcoming adventures that you have planned?
Well, I prefer to tell them places that I've been that I think are phenomenal, all right? Because in the Philippines, a place called Cebu, C-E-B-U, and a charming locally owned hotel there called the Blue Water, which has got these thatched huts, which are, I think it's a 4-star or a 5-star resort, relatively modestly priced. And it's just a wonderful experience where they've got a jetty that goes out into the ocean there and the China Sea. And the fishermen come in on their dugout boats with whatever they've caught that morning. And the fresh food is amazing. You know, skiing, I mean, I love to ski. And then my passion since I was a little kid. And the Canadian Rockies are the most beautiful mountains in North America. I love a little ski area called Sunshine Village. And another one up there called Kicking Horse, which is just, you know, really remote. And, of course, if you're going to talk about skiing in North America, you can't skip places like Aspen or Steamboat. They're all wonderful ski areas or Telluride. But it all depends on the snow conditions. You go where the good snow is. As a young man, I spent almost a year in Chile. The Andes are spectacular, and Chile is a beautiful place. I think those are places that people should put on their bucket lists.
Sounds great. And any upcoming adventures?
Let's see. What's upcoming? I'm planning a trip to Europe. We're going to expand our markets, and I'm going to be spending some time in Spain and Portugal, as well as in Belgium, where we're working with a partner there to distribute products all throughout Western Europe.
Great. Well, Europe, I love Europe. I'm half European, what can I say? Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on to the show. I want to continue to have a relationship with what you're doing in terms of handicap travel, because I'm very sincere about sharing as much information as possible to my listeners, because I know people who are going to be listening to my show have people that they know that are handicapped. They particularly don't have any disability, but they know somebody who does. But to focus on developing travel and opportunities to do things for people with disabilities is fabulous, because there's so many different interest groups that have this and that and the other that they're working on to improve. This is one of the things that a social policy and a social consciousness, I think, is very, very worth doing, and it says a lot about how we relate to each other as people. So I think you're extra special, Don. I loved all your YouTube videos. You definitely have a unique and fabulous purpose to your life. I wish you lots of success, and like I said, I want to stay in touch.
All right. Thanks very much. We appreciate it. And the folks out there, travel safe and travel easy. And hope you enjoy Travel on Products.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Wow, Astrid, that was incredible.
Well, I was so excited about being able to have Mr. Gottschall on the show, because when I talked about the opportunity for people with disabilities or who are handicapped to be able to travel, that is such a life changer. I mean, travel in itself, I say this over and over again, I mean, it is the most enriching, wonderful thing somebody can do for themselves. And my theme, obviously, is solo travel, but any travel, whether you're with groups or your family, whatever. But to take it a step further, to offer the opportunity and the potential for people with disability to be able to travel and to feel comfortable that they can do this is wonderful. So this is one of my most exciting shows that I think that I have been privileged to broadcast. My producer is going to put all the information for anybody interested in travel and activities for persons with disabilities, especially with adaptive adventures. Also, if you are motivated to donate, please do. I mean, Mr. Gottschall is, it was so
phenomenal.
Yeah, so giving and gracious to say he would match it with a $5,000 match. So
let's see if we can do that. I think we should. That's a great challenge for the Solo Travel Talk audience.
Yes, we're going to get the keyword and coordinate with Adaptive Adventures. So
right now, just make sure you say Solo Travel Talk, but we'll make sure in any of the social media posts that it has specifically what that is.
Exactly.
Oh, yay.
Okay, well, I'm very proud of this show. I think it's very life-changing, and thanks for listening. And as I always say, I'm supposed to ask, and please subscribe.
Listeners, we do love our subscribers because, as you can tell, I found this to be such an informative show. I'm really hoping that this spreads the word about not only what is available to people with disabilities, but really sort of the spirit of solo travel, going to the next level, really connecting with people and making sure that everybody is getting out there to travel who wants to. So please subscribe because it actually helps the show and it also promotes it to other listeners. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, any of the finer places that podcasts can be found, or just go to astridtravel.com/podcast. And as Astrid mentioned, I will have everything. I'm going to be an incredible link maker. I'll have links to everything that was mentioned in the show, so you don't have to miss a thing. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And again, a special thanks to Mr. Don Gottschall from Travel On for being on our show. We look forward to seeing you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.